For the expectation of the creature waiteth for the revelation of the sons of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A sense of anticipation rustles through the pages of this morning's Mass. Anticipation, I looked it up yesterday, means an expectation or a foretaste to introduce ahead of time. Generally because of great longing and desire or great fear. The Church does this all year round in her sacred liturgy. Many times the feast day is anticipated as children anticipate the opening of the presents at Christmas. Our Easter is anticipated, our Lord's resurrection, traditionally by some 18 hours on Holy Saturday morning. It is as though we could not wait any longer. That's the sense, really, of today's somewhat problematic epistle from St. Paul. He's just saying that everyone and everything, since the burden was placed on us all by Adam and original sin, is waiting eagerly, groaning, that's how much they're waiting, for the final coming of Christ, who will then bring a new heaven and a new earth, the redemption of our body, the adoption of the sons of God. In other words, even inanimate creation feels the burden, St. Paul says, of original sin. Now, this is true Catholic theology. You go to one of your Novus Ordo churches these days, and they'll be carrying on, as Ratzinger was when he came here, about the earth and green earth and ecology and the rest of it. But we know we have here no lasting dwelling. We are anticipating that this earth will be destroyed by fire and be replaced by a new earth. And that is the focus of a Christian, not recycling or ecology or something like that. Now, the gospel, in a different sense, shows us also this anticipation. Our Lord is beginning his ministry. He's calling his apostles, and he tells them before the fact, one day you fishermen are going to be fishers of men. If you keep that one word in mind, you could do an excellent meditation on the fifth joyful mystery, this morning's topic. It's all summed up with this idea of a foretaste or of a looking forward to. First of all, consider what brought our Lord to Jerusalem at the age of 12 in the company of St. Joseph and Our Lady. Every devout Jew went to Jerusalem on a pilgrimage for the great feast day of unleavened bread or the Passover. St. Joseph went two other times. He went for the Feast of the Tabernacles and for Pentecost, but Our Lady and Our Lord just the once. But the idea is, it is a great feast day and you have to go to the trouble and the expense and the time, the sacrifice, to go up to the temple, to see the sacrifice, to see the beautiful ceremonies, the glory of God's house on this great feast day. Now, that is the same spirit which still today inspires you good Catholics who have come, some of you, from a long distance, as you do all year long, to enter into God's temple, to assist at the sacrifice. The beauty of our Lord's house draws you. And it is a wonderful thing to consider that even if the daily sacrifice of the Mass at St. Gertrude the Great is usually neglected by the faithful, nevertheless, the Sundays and the great feast days are always well attended, thanks be to God. However, be careful. The devil knows your love for the Latin Mass and the sacrifices you have made for it. Do not fall into what we call Latin Massism. That is to say, today there are very traditional-looking Masses said by ministers who are not really ordained priests, validly, or there might be Masses offered by old priests which are valid, but they're in the one world church in union with this Antichrist, Ratzinger. And that doesn't do you any good either. So be careful of that, that you want to have the true Mass in the true church. That's one thought for a meditation. You could call this, you're going to Mass. You're getting into the car on Sunday, mystery. And you might say that as you are getting into the car on Sunday for a peaceful and a safe trip to church and home again every week. But the main thought is that our Lord turns 13 in the gospel of the finding of the child. He's a man, a bar mitzvah, a son of the law, according to the Jewish law. This was a status and not a ceremony. The rabbis created the ceremony many centuries later. But our Lord is now legally an adult. Up until now, our Lord could have traveled with the men or the women. They went separately up to Jerusalem for the sake of modesty. That's how it was done then. So our Lord just stays behind. He's eager to anticipate doing his Father's will. He starts teaching in the temple. He doesn't say a word to anybody. He just does his Father's will. And our Lord is thought to be with St. Joseph by Our Lady, and then vice versa. Thus, the little misunderstanding that occasioned so very much suffering. Our Lord, in the meantime, is making the doctors, that means the teachers in the temple, making them understand that he is the promised one. He is the Messiah, the Christ of Almighty God. Now, religion is not a matter of feeling. It is a matter of logic and of truth. Therefore, the rabbis in the temple, the doctors, are just starting to understand something. You see, in the Acts of the Apostles, we're given the name of two false messiahs. Now, our Lord was laying claim to being the Messiah, the Son of God. Either he was the true promised one, and they must follow him, or he's the false one, and they must put him to death. And it is just at that moment that our Blessed Lady comes into the temple, fresh from her three-day martyrdom of the loss, and when that anticipates for her the Passion of Christ, and Our Lady puts an end to it. It is not yet time. Son, thy hour has not yet come. And Jesus obeys his mother. And then he goes down to Jerusalem and is subject to them. St. Luke concludes the gospel of the finding in the temple. So that's our Lord's anticipation of his ministry, of his, those 3 days were the anticipation of the 3 years, and then the 3 days of the Passion, death, and burial. For Our Lady, too, it is an anticipation of sorrow that would come to her during those 3 days of darkness, our Lord's Passion, death, and burial. One of the early Christian writers, Origen, who later on fell into heresy, shows exquisite sensibility for Our Lady. And he says that this must have been her greatest sorrow, that Mary, imagine, this is the very early church. We Christians have always believed this. Mary suffered more at this moment than all of the martyrs put together. She is the queen of martyrs. For her, it was the agony of absence. You might apply to her the words of the epistle, groaning and travailing, this mother, in pain, even until now. In her humility, she reproaches herself. Was it my fault that the boy is now lost? As any mother would, Almighty God, to give her a taste, a foretaste, of the suffering, which is the price of redemption of souls, withdraws from her certain graces or spiritual sweetness and consolation, and she is left desolate without her son. But this is her preparation, for one day she actually will stand next to him and be our co-redemptrix. You could do anticipation, too, for this mystery. It's an important one for Saint Joseph. He earned the title which Our Lady, with great respect, bestows upon him in the story, the title of Father of Jesus, by his silent obedience and his total devotion to Jesus and to Mary. He's suffering now It is God's will that he not be part of the passion, that he be already in limbo by the time that comes. But this mystery allows him to anticipate in advance the passion and the death of our Lord. There they are at Jerusalem. There they are for 3 days, and Jesus is gone. Do you see the parallel? And his spouse is inconsolate, her soul pierced by a sword of sorrow. When you consider the role of Mary and of Joseph in this mystery, you can think a little bit about the inevitability of suffering. It is part of family life, and it is part of Christian life, and there's no sense complaining about it. It is just willed by God. It is time for you to accept it and to offer it up so that you too can be part of the redemption of souls. Or you may look upon it as an anticipation, this mystery, the fifth joyful, of the passion of our Lord. Our Lord goes up for the Passover feast. What was that? The Feast of the Unleavened Bread. It was not just a remembrance of the past, the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt. It was a foretaste, a preparation, it's called a type, to get them ready for the true deliverance from the bondage of Satan and of sin. The liberation, not just of the Jews, but all of mankind. That's how a devout Jew was meant to look upon it. Our Lord goes to the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. You think in terms of the Holy Eucharist. And he participates, he watches the lambs being slain. As remember we saw last week, the lambs will be slain as he is crucified on that year. And he watches the lambs being roasted for the Passover meal. The lamb was put on 2 pieces of wood, pomegranate wood, and then roasted and then consumed. He knew he would be nailed to 2 pieces of wood across so that he could be consumed by us, his faithful, after the terrible fire of his suffering and death. And he yearns to start it all. He says, I have a baptism I must be baptized with, and I'm straitened till it be accomplished. Our Lord wants to anticipate his suffering and death for mankind's salvation. A last scene for your meditation, an anticipation of the end of the world. Our Lady in this gospel stands for Holy Mother Church. The 3 days loss of Christ stands for all of those centuries since our Lord has gone up to heaven. This is an interpretation the spiritual writers give us that should be especially helpful in our day. Jesus is gone during those 3 days. He's gone now. He's gone from most churches and tabernacles. He's gone from most masses and bishops and teaching and from even the throne of Peter. He's gone. The mystery of loss. The Mother Church is weeping and looking for her Savior. And when she finds him, there is such joy. Now that is how you and I will feel, should be around to see it, when Christ comes in glory at the end of the world. This is prefigured by the finding of Jesus by Mary and Joseph in the temple of Jerusalem. Mother Church seeks him now in sorrow as Our Lady once did, but that is because purifying pain, remember, is the price of the redemption. The fifth joyful mystery, look upon it as a foretaste and anticipation. That's what goes on throughout the whole of our worship, our liturgical year, our Holy Mass. And it is our suffering still. We, like the creatures of the world, even inanimate creation, are travailing and groaning. We're looking for the redemption still to come. And one day, it will. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.